Now, moving on to the second part of this podcast, the second stage is constructing a compelling story for change, because people want to know, why should I? Why should I bother implementing changes? What's in it for me? And the compelling story for change enables them to answer many of those questions. Now, the first step in constructing this compelling story for change is to think big picture. And we have to be able to align, how does this change contribute towards what the business or the organisation is trying to deliver? There has to be a very specific and measurable link and measure so people can see, how am I making a difference? Because most finance professionals, what really makes them tick is knowing that they're adding value and they're making a difference to people's lives. So in this compelling story, whether we draw it as a picture or whether we write it as a business case, people have to be able to see and get a feel for the specific changes and how they're going to contribute towards the bigger picture. The second thing with this compelling story is that there has to be very clear targets of what the change looks like when it's been implemented, i.e. what are the measures of success? How will people know when they've been successful on this change? Think about it. Most organisations implement change after change after change, and how many of those celebrate when change has been successfully implemented? If people don't know when something has been successful, it's almost as though they're on this continual process of being asked to do more and more and more. So my second suggestion, my second tip, definable, quantifiable measures and targets for change success and critical success factors. The third step is that, particularly in finance functions, we are trained to want to be in control of our organisations. One of the primary functions of finance teams is to exert control and compliance. And therefore, we want to know that something makes sense. And most people in finance, to know that something makes sense, they have to see a rational, structured, logical plan. And this is the change implementation plan. How long is it going to take? And what does that look like? And how do I fit into that plan? And this has a double whammy benefit. It minimises the risk that change won't be successful. And secondly, it enables people to know specifically what's expected of them and what it's going to mean to them over the forthcoming period. Okay, so if we really want to define in this compelling story of change what the benefits are, another technique which I'd like to introduce you to is benefits definition, because the change in itself does not deliver anything. It's the business benefits that will really make a difference. And when you look at organisational change, benefits can come in three categories. They can enable the business to do new things, they can enable the business to do things better, and they can, thirdly, enable the business to stop doing some things. Now, just to give you a real-life example of this, most of you have shopped in a supermarket and been through the checkout. Now, when I was a girl, when I used to go down to the supermarket, there was always a lady in an overall on her knees with a ticket machine, pricing up all the tins of baked beans. And you used to hear the noise as she was putting on all the tickets onto the tins of baked beans. Now, it's all automated. And as you go through the checkout, something very sophisticated is happening. Because as that tin of beans goes through the checkout and the barcode is read, it updates the sales system to let the system know that there's been a sale. It also updates the inventory system, the stock system, and it also sends a message to order a brand new tin of beans. At the same time, those checkouts are banking machines, financial services giving us cash back. And most supermarkets now in this experience of going through the checkout also captures all the marketing information on what every customer bought, when they bought it, how they paid for it, and what promotions and offers they took up, namely the club cards and the customer cards, the loyalty cards. So from this change of just simply changing the checkouts, what can supermarkets now do that's new? Well, they can offer cash back. They can now gather detailed marketing information. And thirdly, it's less about cash and more about electronic payments. And the beauty with electronic payments is that it's better cash flow management, isn't it? And also the introduction of just-in-time. So what they can do that's new, and you will have seen this, is that supermarkets now don't have warehouses. In fact, they've opened up that floor space to sellers what? Clothes, electrical. So when we go into supermarkets, we're not just buying our food, we're buying all our non-food items as well. Fantastic idea, isn't it? So those are the new things. What can they do better? Well, because they can track when customers are coming in and what they're actually buying and in what volumes, what they can do better is their resource management. So how many checkouts to open at which specific times in the week or day? And the second thing is also to reduce the queues to customers. Some supermarkets have a policy that only a couple of customers have to be queuing before they will open up another checkout. So that's keeping customers, hopefully, a lot happier. And the supermarkets are hoping a lot more loyal to them. The stop doing things. Well, if you're managing less cash, it means that you can stop spending as much money on security. It means that you can stop investing as much money in your inventory. It means you can stop wasting obsolete stock, and you can stop, to a large extent, having a warehouse. So you see how we're building this compelling story for change. Because if I told you 10 years ago, if I could show you a way, an attractive way, in which you could make customers happier and save money and be able to upsell and cross-sell, do you think supermarkets would have wanted to have spoken to me? And do you think that the people who work in supermarkets would be interested in seeing and also feeling how they could be part of a successful organisation?